Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2121, with a release date of Friday, June 22nd, 2018, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A pioneer in CW keying becomes a silent key. The technician class license exams in the U.S. are about to get new questions, and we look ahead at the Ducie Island de-expedition. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2121 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Bloomington, Indiana, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
We begin this week with an update on the Ducie Island de-expedition, which sets off in late October. Excitement is building, and progress is too. For that update, we turn to Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The Ducie Island de-expedition team continues to gather momentum towards its operations as Victor Papa 6 Delta on October 20th through to November 3rd. The newest member of the pilot team is 15-year-old Mason Matrazzo, Kilo Mike 4, Sierra India India, who made his debut de-expedition last year at age 14 operating from Iceland. He's heading to Curaçao next month as Papa Juliet 2 stroke Kilo Mike 4, Sierra India India. The de-expedition team has been making the rounds, attending a Dayton Hamvention and the International DX Convention in Visalia, California in the US, and Friedrichshafen in Germany to talk up the trip and meet with corporate sponsors. They also continue their fundraising to help defray personal expenses of the team members themselves. For more information about this much-awaited South Pacific de-expedition, or to help support it, visit victorpapa6delta.com. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Remember your first field day? Whether it was long ago or just last year, one group of hams in California is hoping you'll make this year's field day memorable for some young first-timers. Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, tells us more.
Field day has been in everyone's sights for quite some time, but for one group of youngsters in California, it marks their long-awaited first field day and a first opportunity to operate on HF. Members of Scout Troop 44 and Cub Scout Pack 458 are operating side-by-side with the San Mateo Amateur Radio Club using the club call sign W6UQ. In addition, they'll be running their own small-scale field day operation as KZ6BSA. Don Lovell, K8DLL, whose son, 14-year-old Connor, K7CBL, will be among those radio scouts, said that the youngsters will have their own miniature field day with simplex contacts on 2 meters and 70 centimeters. He also said they'll get some practice airtime, just for fun, using FRS, GMRS radios, and later repeaters. Don told Newsline the scouts hope that even with all the QRN and pileups that are sure to be happening, hams will be listening for those squeaky little voices out there calling CQ Field Day. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
In an apparent show of solidarity with field day participants in the U.S., the mighty KBC, as it's known in Germany, plans to transmit greetings in MFSK 64 in the hopes it will be heard by amateurs throughout North America. The transmission by the 100-kilowatt HF broadcast transmitter is set for the 24th of June, sometime around 0130 UTC. This is to occur during the weekly Giant Jukebox broadcast of the mighty KBC on 9925 kilohertz. Naturally, reception reports are encouraged. Hams should email them to themightykbc@gmail.com. Calling all sports fans, or we mean radio contesting fans. If you're following the final weeks until the World Radio Sport Team Championship, our good sport, Ed Durant, DD5LP, is here to help you make some sense of it.
They're all preparing. They're all training. Now they're all packing. From all parts of the world, the contestants for the WRTC 2018 in Germany are getting ready to come to Wittenberg for the Amateur Radio World Cup. It's been a hard-fought effort over the last few years to qualify by being the top of major contest tables, but now it's less than 4 weeks until they can prove their mettle, competing against the best in the world on a level playing field. Amateur radio again shows no respect for politics, with two-person teams not only from single countries, but across countries who were at one time enemies. Russians working alongside Americans, parts of the old Yugoslavia working together on the radio, old feelings lost in the magic of radio competition. There are young and old, and some in between. From New Zealand, there's a father and daughter team. There's three youth teams, including one with a US and a Chilean ham, one with a Ukrainian and Romanian ham, and one with a Hungarian and a German ham. Of course, there are the well-known old hands taking part as well. Unfortunately, this time no contestant qualified from the UK or Australia. Perhaps they'll have to make do with winning the Soccer World Cup final, which takes place on the same day as the WRTC. For a full list of contestants with their biographies, go to wrtc2018.de and click on Competition, followed by Participants. One thing is for sure, no matter who wins on July 15th, all competitors, helpers and visitors are looking forward to having a great time together, no matter what else is happening in the world. Stop press, this just in. Using two 300 kilowatt transmitters from Europe, Radio DARC will broadcast just before the start of the competition a WRTC special programme across Europe on 6070 kHz and to North America on 13860 kHz on Saturday the 14th at 1100 UTC for an hour. For Amateur Radio Newsline, this has been Ed Durant, DD5LP.
What if someone held a disaster drill and nobody came? Well, it didn't happen that way exactly in India recently, but the turnout among amateurs turned out to be a challenge. Here's Jeremy Boot, G4NGH, with details.
A mock disaster drill held in Uttar Pradesh, India, by the National Disaster Management Authority turned out to have one challenge that was real, finding amateur radio operators. The exercise in Lucknow focused on the state's 23 flood-prone districts. It relied on the readiness of the state police along with the National Disaster Response Force. On the website of the Amateur Radio Club of Lucknow, Pandit VU2DCT wrote that he turned out to be the sole amateur taking part in the exercise. It appears that no hams reside in any of the districts where the drill was scheduled. Pandit, who is secretary of the Ham Radio Club, wrote that he was able to provide his fellow participants with an oral presentation on amateur radio. He posted a hopeful observation, too, that most of the dignitaries present at the day's exercise showed an interest in what ham radio can do. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Spokane, Washington UHF repeater of K7TMF and K7MMA on Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. In the U.S., the question pool is changing for the technician class license exam as of July 1st. Every 3 years, the questions are changed, modified, and brought up to date by the National Conference of Volunteer Exam Coordinators. So as of July 1st, you can consider all the old license test preparation materials, like manuals, online practice tests, PowerPoint presentations, and such, to be outdated. Approximately 60 of the technician license questions were replaced. Most of the questions focus on the same concepts, but wording changes will bring the material up to date. If you are part of a volunteer exam team, you must use the new exam starting on July 1st. So VEs, be sure to change out those tests. And if you're studying with old books, be aware that some of those questions will change while the topics, for the most part, won't. If you've been studying with the old books, June 30th is your last chance to take the test before the big change. Now here's an awards program that will have you wishing for an endless summer. Mike Askins, KE5-CXP, is our man on the beach for this story.
While some people bring suntan lotion and a surfboard or maybe just a good book to the beach, others wouldn't be seen on the shore without their rig and an antenna, because a beach day can also be a ham radio day. The program known as Beaches on the Air is encouraging hams to operate portable and qualify for awards as activators. Chasers, the hams who contact them, can also compete for honors. The idea took root in a conversation in 2013 between Diego, EC1CW, and his friend Ernesto, EA1LQ, a fellow ham and SOTA activator. Diego told Newsline that the award scheme really took off sometime after December of 2015, when he chose the windy Atlantic coastline of the Spanish beach at Riazor for the first activations. Beaches on the Air was on the map at last. International users now call CQ from the shore in Greece, Bulgaria, Spain, Croatia, Portugal, the UK, and elsewhere around the world. In fact, just a few weeks after Diego's first activations, Vlado Z35M, an amateur in Macedonia, requested that the program include the beaches there. A ham for nearly 35 years, Vlado is a big proponent of portable operations and a frequent activator. BOTA covers not only seaside beaches, but also those on inland lakes and rivers. A full list of the approved sites and the awards that can be earned is at beachesontheair.com. So with the summer arriving in some parts of the world, be listening as hams on the beach catch a wave. A radio wave, that is. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
Some school kids in Australia are getting ready to have a summer of solder and circuit boards. Robert Broomhead, VK3DN, has more on these special summer workshops.
What do crickets, frogs, and grasshoppers have to do with ham radio? Everything, if you ask the organizers of the school holiday electronics workshops being offered for school kids in July. The Bendigo Amateur Radio and Electronics Club have organised the workshops in Castlemaine to help grow the next generation of engineers and, of course, radio amateurs as well. In sessions geared to beginners age 7 and older, students will learn the basics of electrical circuitry and get to build a solar-powered grasshopper of their own. The workshop for students 10 and older will teach the basics of soldering. Those students will get a homebrew cricket or frog. The club is also planning a third workshop for returning students who have already been through the basics in previous workshops. For information and fees and schedule, contact the club via email at secretary@barrack.net.au. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
In the world of DX, you can work Haru JA1XGI operating as H44XG from Aniara in the Solomon Islands through the 27th of June. He will be on 40 through 10 meters, mainly on CW, with perhaps some FT8. Bodo DF8DX is operating from Taiwan from June 24th through the 30th. He will be using the BW/DF8DX call sign on the HF bands. QSL go via his home call. He will upload logs to Logbook of the World. Be listening for the call sign TM65EU being used by three French amateurs on the air from three islands off the French coast. They can be heard on June 22nd and 23rd. Their QSL manager is F4ELK. You have a chance to work Antonio EA5RM operating as CP1XRM from Bolivia until July 10th. He is in Bolivia as an NGO volunteer, but is on the air during his free time on 40 through 10 meters using single sideband and digital modes. He may also be on 60 meters. QSL via EA5RM. We end this week with a story about radio waves that truly know no bounds, not even inside the walls of a high-security prison. From Australia, here's Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
There's something to be said for the power of radio, even if, in this case, it's not amateur radio. And even if, in this case, it's radio produced inside a remote high-security prison. The inmates here call their service the West Kimberley Regional Prison Radio Hour, or WKRP. No, not that WKRP, the name of the radio station in that wildly popular American TV series of some years ago based in Cincinnati. This is radio programming that gives details on prison happenings. When it was launched last year, it was envisaged as a bulletin service of sorts for simple updates, but now the program is heard outside the West Australian prison's prison walls on community stations. If you've ever had Mike fried as a ham, you've something in common with the inmates here who received expert coaching from Rebecca O'Meara and encouragement from producer Brad Spring of Derby Aboriginal Media Corporation. Now the hour-long weekly show is heard through the National Indigenous Radio Service. The audience isn't a captive one, but the program's announcers are, at least until they've served their time. Hams can relate? No, there's nothing better than getting the word out, no matter what walls you may be behind, and knowing others really hear you. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Finally, some terrific news on a personal note. Dr. Tamitha Scove, also known as the Space Weather Woman, has come through on her promise to get a ham license. She's currently waiting on her vanity call sign, but all of us here at Newsline welcome her to our great hobby that she has been supporting already for a few years with her propagation reports that are keenly followed on her website, Twitter, and on Ham Nation. With thanks to ABC, Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, the BBC, Bendigo Amateur Radio and Electronics Club, CQ Magazine, Diego Barella, AC1CW, DX World, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Ohio Pen DX Bulletin, QRZNow.com, RadioInfo.com Australia, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and your listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2018. All rights reserved.